The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yes, we haven't spoken about Corona for a long time.
Yeah, and hasn't it been lovely?
It's been really, really lovely, but unfortunately, that seems all set to change in Israel. We've had a wonderful few months, mask-free, concern-free, even though in the background we've had a number of people being diagnosed with corona. Well, there's been a significant uptick in the number of diagnoses recently, and there are people who are attributing this uptick to the BA5 variant, and there's been quite a sharp increase in the number of cases in Israel just in the last couple of weeks. Over the last few days, 5,800 cases being recorded and a 26.4% positivity rate. So, and there is some discussion about the possibility of returning to wearing masks again. I personally don't look forward to that, but I understand that it may be necessary. And we will just watch and see what's been going on. But I can tell you that being out in this particular situation, just not being too concerned about it and being without masks, has been a real joy.
Yeah, it really is. And I just wonder if it is going to go back to that. Certainly what we saw here, even during our supposed fifth wave, is that people got sick, but it really wasn't a particularly bad one. And as long as people are vaccinated, then it is relatively benign, and let's hope that that's what happens in Israel as well. But we certainly will see over the next coming days, I've got no doubt. Israelis have been instructed to leave Turkey, especially Istanbul, due to an Iranian attack against Israelis considered to be a real and immediate threat. So this is fascinating, the amount of intel that Israel has, that they were able to even call this, I think, this couple who were at the market in Turkey and said, don't move, we're coming to get you, and then took them to the airport. It was astounding.
James Bond, eat your heart out.
Absolutely. Wow.
Yeah, so let's just take a few steps back. First of all, I'm glad that you mentioned the names of those Iranian scientists who some newspaper reports claim were poisoned by Israel. I'm not going to try and mention their names, but of course all of it is very much related. So yesterday, Yair Lapid, Israel's foreign minister, made an official announcement, and he said the following: those people who are in Turkey right now, get on a plane and come home to Israel. Obviously talking about Israelis. Get on a plane and come home right away, especially people who are in Istanbul. And then he went on to say, and if anybody has plans to travel to Turkey over the coming period of time, cancel your plans. Simple as that. No ifs, no buts, no if you can, as soon as you can. None of that. No mincing of words at all. Simply come home and stay home, and don't make any plans to go to Turkey anytime soon. Now, I'd like to qualify this by saying that it is still considered safe for Israelis to have a layover in Istanbul if traveling through the airport there. And by inference, I expect that means other people as well who may be traveling to Israel or indeed elsewhere. There doesn't seem to be the same level of threat against those people, and layovers apparently are still okay. So I know we had that question once before, and that seems to still be okay. However, let's look at some of the events that happened last week, which have given rise to this very, very serious threat. Istanbul has been given a category 4 warning for tourism, which means don't go there under any circumstances. And the only other countries, places that have a category 4 warning are Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, and Yemen. And now Istanbul to add to that. So it just gives you an idea of how serious this threat is considered. And it's all about Iran apparently wishing to retaliate, wishing to take revenge against some of these actions that have been going on in Iran against the Iranian nuclear program, against some of the Iranian military activities. And apparently Istanbul has been chosen by the Iranians as an ideal location for them to potentially carry out some of these revenge attacks against Israelis. And just to go back to that story that you referred to, this was a couple who were holidaying in Istanbul, and the wife was shopping in the Grand Bazaar, as one would do if you were holidaying in Istanbul. It's certainly a worthwhile visit. And she was apparently called by Israeli security to say, "Don't go anywhere. We will come and pick you up, and we will take you directly to the airport. You will not go to your hotel. You will not go and collect your belongings. We are sending you on the next flight back to Israel." And it turns out, they claim, that Iranian assassins were actually waiting for them at their hotel, waiting for them to return from their shopping trip at the Grand Bazaar, and were already at the hotel waiting for them. Now, this is the story of real spy thrillers. And it's not exactly clear. First of all, the couple involved have not been identified. I've heard an interview conducted with one of the members of the couple whose voice was slightly changed altered, so that we couldn't actually identify who they are. And we don't know why they may have been targeted. In other words, there is speculation that one of the members of the couple may well have been in possession of some special information, may well have had a certain security clearance, may well have been something a little bit more than just an ordinary tourist around Istanbul, and may have been targeted for that reason. It is unclear, though. This is all pure speculation because none of that information has come out. But as we stand, and interestingly, all of this took place even before the senior colonel in Iran was assassinated. So this was not even a retaliation against that very, very high profile killing that took place in Tehran. This all happened before. And the reason why the warning was only issued yesterday after all of these events of the last week or so is because apparently Israel wanted to give some respect to the Turkish authorities and to their tourism in particular, just to allow them to take some control of the situation before coming out with this very dramatic warning, telling Israelis to not go to Istanbul in particular, and pretend pop, and even not go to Turkey in general. Turkey, the rest of Turkey outside of Istanbul, has a Category 3 warning associated with it. Interestingly, yesterday it was reported that there were 21 flights that departed Israel for Turkey, with 3,700 passengers on board. So these are either people who hadn't got the warning yet or were just ignoring it. It's fair to assume that some of them would have been transit passengers, so not all of them were probably going to be staying over in Turkey. But this is a very dramatic and very serious situation, and it shows how Israeli intelligence is working right now and how seriously we're taking the threat that Iran poses all this retaliation. And of course, the latest story then allied and linked to that is, of course, of the poisoning of these two Iranian scientists that you mentioned earlier. Israel is suspected of having poisoned them by food poisoning. One of them, a geologist, another one, an aeronautical engineer, potentially having been involved with some of the drone technology and activity that Iran is well known for conducting. So things are really heating up at the moment with the whole Iranian threat. And every single day, there's just another report of Iran checking missiles, of somebody else dying a suspicious death, of people who seem unrelated, suddenly an explosion over here, a fire over there, just unexpected and unexplained things. And of course, the Iranian regime doesn't necessarily help the cause because they don't like to explain these things. They don't like to talk about them very much. And so, by virtue of the fact that there isn't much information coming out, it looks even more suspicious than it might otherwise be. But certainly a lot of suspicious activity going on in Iran, and a lot of security activity going along in Israel and around Israelis who are traveling abroad. Interestingly, an Iranian official yesterday came out saying, "Oh, we are not going to carry out any attacks on third-party territory. We're going to do it right where it should be." Well, I suspect that that's probably just a red herring and not entirely true in terms of their intentions.
Absolutely. European leaders are currently in Israel to discuss their energy requirements. Which leaders are visiting Israel at the moment, Anthony?
Yeah, so this is a very fascinating thing because, you know, in the past when leaders have come to Israel, they've always wanted to get involved in trying to broker peace deals and to try and get involved in discussions with the Palestinians. Well, all of that's now parked to one side because there is a much more immediate threat. And the immediate threat is, of course, the war in Ukraine and the Russian gas that has been turned off to Europe. And so all of a sudden, European leaders are looking at things in an entirely different way. And for the very first time, Israel is considered to be a leading contender to supply gas to Europe. And what a change this situation presents to Israel in terms of economic possibilities, but also just in terms of Israel's general standing around the world, because Israel up until now, as I said, has been the place to visit if you're looking for technology and if you're looking to try and broker peace agreements or if you want to visit holy sites. Those are really the main reasons why leaders have come to Israel. And all of a sudden now we're talking real business, real threats, and massive demand, particularly for gas in Europe. At the moment, right now, we have the Italian Prime Minister, Mario Draghi, who is in Israel. He landed here yesterday. He's already met with Foreign Minister Yair Lapid. He will also be meeting with Prime Minister Naftali Bennett. In addition to Mario Draghi, whose visit to Israel is, I think, the first one since he's taken office in Italy, we also have the European Commission Chief, Ursula von der Leyen, who is visiting, and she also is meeting with senior government officials, also with Foreign Minister Yair Lapid, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, and with the other people who are involved in Israel's gas industry, because that's really what these leaders are here to do. Of course, they will make the visit to Ramallah, and they will visit with the Palestinian Authority, just in order to make sure that all their political and diplomatic ducks are in a row. But ultimately, I think the main business that they've come to talk about is energy cooperation and how Israel might be able to be a supplier of gas to these countries, to Europe in general, to Italy in particular, and to, of course, to other countries in that area, who are all now really struggling to find alternatives to the Russian gas shortage. So this just makes a welcome and a quite pleasant change in terms of the attitude of foreign leaders coming to Israel and the items that might be on their agenda.
It really does make it's just a good story, and let's hope that this continues in that direction. U.S. negotiator has arrived in Lebanon to try and mediate the maritime border dispute. Is there a compromise on the table?
I think there is a compromise on the table, and of course this maritime dispute again is linked to the previous story, because much of it surrounds the gas fields, because the border that's been drawn, or the border that's been negotiated, is exactly around where some of the large gas supplies exist, right on the border, the maritime border between Israel and Lebanon. So we have Amos Hochman, who is the US mediator, who has been involved in negotiating this matter between the Lebanese government and Israel, albeit indirectly, has been involved in negotiating this before, has now been called back. He left a proposal on the table back in January. The Lebanese government kind of mulled over it, didn't do anything with it, just allowed it to lie in somebody's drawer without actioning anything. And then, of course, we see this gas rig come through the Suez Canal and take up position at the Karish gas field, which is right on that border with Lebanon, the disputed border, and suddenly all of this kicks back into action. Amos Hochman is called back from the US to come and conduct these indirect negotiations. So what we have now are essentially three different potential points to which the line can be drawn, always from the same land border, but outward to the sea, towards three different points. And of course, those three different points are all governed by exactly where gas reserves lie. It would come as no surprise to find out that Israel's point, which is known as point number one, is the furthest north. It's a point that encapsulates not only the Karish gas field, but potentially even part of another gas field called Qana, which has not yet been exploited and doesn't seem to be on the verge of being exploited, but is also in dispute. So that's Israel's point number one. The Lebanese originally had come up with point number 23, which was further to the south. And of course, so unsurprisingly, includes all of the kind of gas field on their side of the border, but also incorporates, in that particular case, didn't actually incorporate the Karish gas field. So then they decided to revise the requirement to point number 29, which is the furthest south, and also incorporates part of the Karish gas field, which Israel has simply just ignored. Now, interestingly, the U.S. negotiator, Amos Hochman, has come back to say point number 29 is not even up for discussion. So even before he got on the plane and left the USA to come and conduct the mediation, he already said, don't even discuss point 29. It's not on the table. But magically, there is a line that can be drawn exactly in the middle between Cana and Karish, such that Karish falls on Israel's side of the border and Cana will fall on Lebanon's side of the border. There is this magical line that you can draw if you're very, very creative. You can get it done and make sure that each of those fall on different sides of the border. Now, Israel has laid some claim to Cana, but I think it's been sort of a half-hearted claim. So for Israel to say, we're going to give up on Cana, that's our idea of compromise, but they are insisting upon keeping Karish on Israel's side. So I suspect that there is a solution here to be reached. The mediation, of course, it needs a third party to come in and to be the white knight in order to rescue the situation and to come out with the solution. But I think there is an obvious solution. And it was interesting that in the speech that was given last week by Hezbollah leader, where he usually rants on and threatens Israel, on this particular occasion, he was very, very cautious in threatening about the gas field issue, but still granting the Lebanese government the right to decide what they will be doing about drawing the border. So whereas usually he's very much vocal, and of course he did say, we as Hezbollah think that this should be the case, but he didn't actually threaten and say quite unequivocally that this will be the requirement and we will fight this. He didn't do that at all. It was a very different atmosphere of speech that we saw delivered last week from the one that we generally have, the ranting that goes on against Israel. It was entirely different. So we're seeing the compromise creeping in here. I think there is a compromise deal on the table. I think to some of us, at least, it looks fairly obvious, but it does require a third party to come in and put the rubber stamp on it and to say, this is my suggestion. You guys will bump your heads together. You give up this, you give up that. Done deal, and we're on our way. So I think there is a deal to be done. The Lebanese don't look anywhere close to exploiting their side of the gas fields as yet, but of course Israel are wasting no time at all.
And getting
the rig is there, the platform is there, and the gas will hopefully begin to flow within the course of the next 2 to 3 months, I would say.
Before I let you go, Mark wants to know, please ask Anthony if the Turks are facilitating these attacks on Israel in Turkey. From my understanding, it's the other way around. They're assisting Israel in that.
Well, it's an interesting question because I don't think the Turks are actively facilitating the attacks. But the fact that Turkey is being used as a hunting ground gives you the understanding that there is a certain something which facilitates Turkey being used. Why Turkey as opposed to anywhere else? And obviously it's because there is a certain weakness or a certain ease which Turkey provides to the Iranians to be able to operate within. But you're right, the official reports that have come out have said Turkey is really helping to gather various people, members of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, who seem to be running around Turkey right now, potentially as a threat to Israelis. So the Turks are formally helping to resolve the issue, but it seems as if they need to get their security issues resolved as well.
Indeed. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, we'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.